Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Blizzard conditions and severe cold are settling in for much of the country.
No one is ever ready for the cold, especially in negative degrees.
And it could threaten travel plans for millions of Americans. Crews have been salting runways and de-icing planes at airports like Tulsa International for hours. It's just 5 degrees there. And if you do make it on a plane,
use a carry-on bag. That way, if your flight is canceled, you'll have your bag with you, and you'll be able to go where you need to go.
That's Robert Sinclair with AAA. Nationwide, more than 2,200 flights have been canceled today. President Biden also warned people to travel while they can before issuing this holiday message.
I wish you and for our nation, now and always, is that we'll live in the light. The light of liberty and hope, of love and generosity, of kindness and compassion.
Mr. Biden plans to stay put and celebrate Christmas in Washington. The Senate's $1.7 trillion spending plan for the coming fiscal year is now halfway to the president's desk. Vermont Democrat Patrick Leahy.
$42 billion aid to Ukraine, $27 billion for victims of natural disasters. Most of what's in here has been put together in a bipartisan fashion.
The measure now heads to the House for approval. Former FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried has posted bond and will be on house arrest at his parents' place in California until trial. CBS's Lilia Luciano was at his court appearance today in New York.
The 30-year-old can only leave the home for hearings and exercise within the proximity of his home. He will be banned from opening any new companies and making any financial transactions exceeding $1,000, except as approved by the government.
New questions are being raised about the effectiveness of some popular over-the-counter drugs. Here's CBS's Jim Krasula.
Some doctors and pharmacists are asking the FDA to stop the sale of versions of the popular cold medicines Benadryl, Mucinex, Theraflu, and Tylenol. The over-the-counter pills, syrups, and liquids rely on an ingredient called phenylephrine to help relieve nasal congestion. The ingredient is considered safe, but several studies have found it doesn't actually clear up stuffy noses.
About 107,000 Americans died of drug overdoses last year. That's according to the CDC, which released its final figures today. That's nearly 16% higher than the figures in 2020. Accidental injuries, including drug overdoses, was the fourth leading cause of death after heart disease, cancer, and COVID. On Wall Street, the Dow lost 348 points today. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Attention! If you owe money to the IRS, this is an urgent message. The IRS is cracking down by sending out heart-stopping letters, aggressively garnishing paychecks, seizing bank accounts, and putting liens on homes and businesses. They call it enforced compliance, and you better watch out, because penalties and interest on unpaid taxes compound daily, making it seem impossible to ever get out of debt. Don't let the tax debt destroy your life. You need to call Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm. They're experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, one of the biggest breaks that the IRS has ever offered. If you qualify, you could save thousands. Optima's resolved over $1 billion of tax debt for their clients. A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, they'll fight to get you the best deal possible. Call Optima now for a free consultation.
Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
The Badgers.
Under pressure, down he goes.
The Cowboys.
Tightrope to sideline, to the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Live from Chase Field in Phoenix, Arizona.
They win the game. They are bowl eligible, and they keep the Freedom Trophy.
It's the Guaranteed Rate Bowl. Join us Tuesday. Our coverage begins at 7 p.m. on your home for Wisconsin football.
Catch all the postseason action right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The courthouse will be closed in Wood County on Friday, December 23rd, and Monday, December 26th. The county offices will be closed in Adams County on Friday, December 23rd and Monday, December 26th. The Port Edwards alumni basketball game, scheduled for tonight, December 22nd, has been canceled. No word yet on when it will be rescheduled. Portage County has opened a number of warming sites ahead of the dangerously low temperatures forecast for the next few days. Locations include Portage County Humane and Health Services, the Portage County Public Library and Sheriff's Department, the Salvation Army, Frame Memorial Presbyterian Church, the Jensen Community Center, Rosholt Public Library, Village of Almond Municipal Center, and Village of Plover Municipal Center. If you are in need of overnight accommodations, please contact the Portage County Public Health Division's Emergency Services, the Sheriff's Office, or United Way's 211. And that's the news update on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm warning continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Chance for snow tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows level off around 10 below. Winds out of the northwest, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Snow likely tomorrow, high of zero.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening.
Three, two, one.
Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a merry Monday, happier, happy hour. Dom, we welcome back a fine guest, friend of ours. I'm ecstatic that Jim Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Morning Cannolis right here on the Civic Media Network, Saturday mornings between 9 and 11. If you haven't heard him yet, go get the podcast. But Jim, welcome back, man. You are a great guest for a day like today.
Hey, Jim.
Mike. Dom, good to be with you on any day of the week, including Mondays.
Well, Jim, let me point out, it may not be Merrick Garland Day, may not be Special Counselor Day, but perhaps Jimmy Raskin Day or Benny Thompson Day, or hell, even Liz Cheney Day.
But Adam Schiff Day. Right?
But you, as I understand it, Jim, you think today is a big nothing burger because it really is irrelevant, right?
You know, I hate the word, I hate the phrase nothing burger because it's just, there's nothing there. And this is big politically. It's huge politically. It's hugely important in the history of our nation. This is a day that will go down in history, that you've got a body of the United States Congress saying that a former president has committed crimes and doing it publicly in such a way that not only are they referring matters to the Department of Justice, but announcing in a 160-page executive summary and more to come on Wednesday, all of what this president did. So I do not mean in any way to diminish the significance of this day and what we saw this afternoon. My small comments are just these. It is irrelevant for what the Department of Justice is going to be doing. And so to the extent that there's this notion that somehow now the Department of Justice has got all this information and can go forward, they've been doing that for many of the past months, maybe not as long as the committee has been up and running. And it concerns me only for this small reason. And that is at some point down the road, when it is, in fact, Merrick Garland Day or Jack Smith Day, and we do, in fact, have an indictment, invariably on this program and others around the country, we're going to be comparing what it is that the Department of Justice referred and how it is that the grand jury crafted its indictment. And in that connection, then, the notion that the charge is going to be made, again, defensible completely against Merrick Garland, that he's doing this just for political purposes. He's doing what Jamie Raskin told him to do, what Benny Thompson told him to do. And that's the kind of argument the Department of Justice doesn't need. It's unsupported. It's going nowhere. But it just adds one more small thing that the Department of Justice doesn't need in a situation where the referrals themselves technically, legally, are not necessary. The larger issue that I have about today, which was kind of a gulp time, was this notion we're going to be releasing all the transcripts of the witnesses. That may be the larger concern that the Department of Justice has right now, that before we've indicted anybody, we're going to release into the public domain all of these transcripts so that all of the putative defendants, the potential defendants out there, can take a look at what others have said about them and perhaps craft their stories. That's the kind of thing that I think Jack Smith might be somewhat concerned about this evening.
Well, a couple notes on that, Jim. Certainly any defendants are going to assume that those people who testified said what they said, and they're going to craft their opinion or their defense accordingly anyway. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know that they would change their defense because of it. I mean, certainly maybe there's some little things that could be said, but all in all, you know, the defendants, if they are charged, they know what they did, and they know who saw them do what they did, and they can, you know, fully expect that those people testified honestly to that. And the other side of that is, you know, you mentioned a couple of the Democrats, the Department of Justice doesn't need it, and you're right. I mean, the DOJ has had a lot of issues here lately, let's just put it that way. And so they're kind of in a no-win situation, Jim, but there were also two Republicans on that committee, and those Republicans referred. There are a lot of Republicans that voted against Donald Trump in the impeachment as well. There's a lot of Republicans that have a problem with anybody, be it a Republican, independent, Democrat, whatever, you know, engaging in insurrection and fraud because they lost an election. So, I mean, those things, I do agree, they're going to be there, and they're not with any merit whatsoever. But that's the greater issue for me is that the Congress doesn't do this for history and right. for the American people to try to lay it out as best they can. Specifically, Jim, the four charges, let's go through these briefly if we can. Obstruction of an official proceeding. Cheney, she came out swinging with this one a long time ago. Any comments on that?
Sure. And this is, I think, the strongest of them, although it may sound the weakest to listeners out there. Sounds like you're interrupting a meeting of some kind. And in fact, you are. But it is a felony. And you can prove it, again, by simply showing that what you have done, what you have put in motion, what you've assisted or supported, results in the obstruction of proceeding. What is that proceeding? What did you do? You effectively stopped the counting. And this is not just, yes, it was resumed later on, but you actually did obstruct that proceeding. And so that charge, I think, I hope that Jack Smith is listening, yes, but I hope it's already on his list. That's one that I think would be at the top of any indictment coming down the road. And so that one, I think, is quite strong. The other ones, again, various levels of concern about those. The false statements piece, again, one that was not reported previously on under 1001 Title 18. Very, very important. This is the false electors part of this. We've talked about that. The fact that our attorney general in this state has not pursued that, but presumably the attorney general at the federal level will be doing so. I think that's a very strong charge. You've got people coming forward making false statements in a document that affects the future of the election. The one that
hang on, Jim. Let's stay on the conspiracy to make a false statement for a moment. Sure. Certainly, here in the state of Wisconsin, we had the former GOP chair Andrew Hitt and others sign off on this. And their defense, apparently, according to their testimony given to J6, was, well, you know, we were told that this would only be done if and when a court case, yada yada. So they're trying
to hide
behind
this. Their case had already been the Wisconsin Supreme Court case had already been decided before that. False electors vote was taken here in the state of Wisconsin. I just make that note for history, Jim.
Yeah, that's a good point. So do they have any defense? Is that a defense? Number one, do you think that the people who actually did this, the false electors themselves, are they also then part of this conspiracy? Could they be charged? Should they be charged? And is this a defense? Hey, the attorney said it was okay.
All right. Defense of counsel is a recognized defense in criminal proceedings, but it only goes so far. Right. And it presumes that there is something about the law or legality that is sufficiently obscure that I wouldn't know about it absent my attorney telling me that, yes, you can do this, that there may be a significant real estate matter or transaction involving securities. Here, what you have are people getting together, plainly clandestinely, in other rooms and Capitol buildings around the country, putting together a document saying that I am an elector and that Donald Trump has won. And my attorney says, well, yeah, I can do that because it's just conditional on all these other things. Is that a reasonable kind of assumption to make? I would argue as a prosecutor that it is not. Again, that's the reason why we have trials. Juries could believe that kind of a defense. But I would offer to you that, again, on this charge that the committee is recommending, I think it's a pretty strong case. You've got a document indicating that people are not who they are, representing something that is not true for the express purpose of doing what? Of undermining the election and causing people at the highest levels of government to make a decision that would be fraudulent and false if they relied on your document. That's a pretty compelling situation.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show recapping the last January 6th hearing, criminal referrals of the former president, four different charges. But before we move on from the fraudulent Trump electors here in the state of Wisconsin, okay, the lawyer told me to do it, or at least that's the excuse being expressed. Well, the former chairman of the Republican Party of the great state of Wisconsin is senior counsel at Michael Best and Friedrich. He is counsel. He is a lawyer. So how do you say that lawyer told me what I know from my own profession, because I'm not just some gumshoe out of college. I am qualified to be a senior partner at one of the biggest political firms in the state. If that is the case, both things can't be true. You can't be an ignorant guy and also capable of being a senior partner at Michael Best and Friedrich, at least in my opinion. Jim, tell me I'm wrong.
I will not tell you you're wrong. And I think you've just made the closing argument for the prosecution in a state prosecution or presumably the upcoming federal prosecution that Jack Smith and Merrick Garland will presumably be approving fairly soon. I think that's exactly what you say to a jury. And again, there's this great instruction, we've talked about it before, that says you've got to still rely upon your common sense. You don't have to be a lawyer to understand all these things. You don't have to be a judge to understand all these things. You bring your common sense and you draw exactly the conclusion, Mike, that you just drew, which is one of these things can't be true, and you can't rely on both of them to get out of trouble here. I think it's a very compelling position to articulate.
Jim, as we've mentioned, we really don't think the actual criminal referrals of Trump has any bearing whatsoever. What about the ethical referrals of Congress people that fail to honor specific subpoenas? One of the people we understand is Kevin McCarthy. This guy thinks he's going to be the next speaker. He's getting the gavel on January 3rd if he's got the votes. But how do you give out the committee assignment to the ethics committee that investigates you?
It is a problem, right? It's not only a small problem for him. It's a huge problem for him politically, but also ethically, you'd like to think. And we've also got Jim Jordan, who is also scheduled to be the head of the Judiciary Committee fairly soon. The ironies just continue to multiply here, right, in terms of who's in charge in Congress and the brazenness of going ahead with these behaviors and with their conduct as leaders of these committees and of the majority in the House and the Speaker of the House, even as there is this major allegation of ethical violation. Presumably, much of this will be going away when the new Congress gets sworn in, but the ethics committee, they're not insignificant charges, and they should be considered by the ethics committee very, very soon.
If I was Hunter Biden and I got, you know, let's just say a subpoena from the committee chairman in the Judiciary Committee, which may be Jim Jordan soon, mm-hmm. I think I would ignore it, Jim. I'd throw it in the trash can like they did.
There, regrettably, there's precedent for that in America now, 2021, 2022, is there not? And we're ready for an exciting 2023.
Come back with us. More exciting Devil's Advocates, a Merry Monday edition. Always better with a little Jim Santel and some morning cannolis. Yeah.
Farmers and ranchers have a lot of choices to make. When it comes to your crop insurance needs, the team at Ag Country Farm Credit Services can simplify it all for you. Ag Country's Optimum tool will compare thousands of options based on information from your farm, which will then be used to find the right policy for your operation. Ask about the Optimum tool by contacting your local Ag Country office. Ag Country, focused on ag, focused on you.
All right, class, let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Whoa! Awesome!
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
We may be thousands of miles apart, but we can still connect. And when we do, we make things better. At Child Fund, we connect children all around the world with what they need to grow up healthy, educated, and safe. Together, we co-create connections that help millions of children who live in poverty worldwide. And their families, and their communities, and you. Join us. Together, we can make the world a better place. Two small worlds at a time. Visit childfund.org to learn more.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocate.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. James Santel, former U.S. attorney, our friend, sticking around for at least one more segment. Jim, thank you for doing so. I want to get back to the criminal referrals. We talked about obstruction of an official proceeding. We also talked about the conspiracy to make a false statement, the false fake electors. We got two more: conspiracy to defraud the United States, and my favorite, inciting the insurrection. Jim, which one do you want to tackle first?
Well, let's start with insurrection because it's my favorite too. I think it's probably everybody's favorite. Like, let's poll that. Let's have Evan take a poll of listeners out there. And so, and this one again, I commend the committee for advancing it. Again, regardless of the political and visual set of this, because it really is a big deal, right? To charge. This is the kind of the seditious conspiracy. This is the notion that you intended to overthrow the government. And to the extent that today's message, again, historically significant, politically important is anything, this one does appropriately grab the attention of Americans. Says this is not just, oh, some reporting matter, obstruction matter here or there. Those are significant in themselves. This is a big one. The challenge, of course, is that it really does require a huge amount of proof about intent. The good news about this, it doesn't have to show that you're conspiring with others. And you probably can show that intent just by virtue of all the things that the people surrounding the president, the ex-president, said at that time, including his own family members, and his refusal, as they said, to his dereliction of duty to do anything. That you can impute intent from that and argue that that is in support of his purpose to overthrow the government. That's the insurrection charge. It is a difficult thing to show, but not impossible. I think it's bold. We'll look forward to seeing if Jack Smith embraces it and goes forward with it before the grand jury. Doesn't need it again, but certainly it is a very attractive message to send to the American public, and would be powerful in an indictment as well.
Jim Santel, our good friend, host of Morning Cannolis, right here on the Civic Media Network, Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. I like to consume the morning cannolis. It's quite good, Jim. Let me ask you. There were targets of this insurrection, A, the Constitution, right, democracy, but B, effectively, the vice president was targeted. And even a tweet in real time sent by the president, you know, didn't have the courage. What he was really saying is, go get him, at least in my opinion, Jim. Well, you know, the vice president is out today effectively calling this a partisan committee, defending the former president, saying, well, I don't think criminal referrals are merited. I mean, I know he's going to go run for president, but this is pretty craven stuff. I mean, if I was the target of Hang Mike Pence, I might find a little backbone, Jim, just a human opinion. You got anything to express?
Absolutely, especially as there is a noose that quite literally is hung on the Capitol grounds, not too far from where the vice president was, especially when this vice president has distanced himself in some ways from the ex-president. Why not do it here, where the intended purpose by the ex-president was to have you killed? Can you imagine anything more dramatic than that? And so I look to Mike Pence and I say, gee, I understand your political aspirations and the reasons why you may want to criticize the committee, but I agree with you entirely. Stand for it. Say, you know what, this is too far. And there are pieces of this committee. Recommendations are being made, findings being made here. Mr. Pence should say that I do, in fact, endorse this is one of them. And that kind of political maneuvering, including an invitation to kill the vice president, completely unacceptable and unlawful, and can also, by the way, getting back to our previous discussion, be a part of the proof for the insurrection piece, for the conspiracy to defraud, for all of this. That can also be a part of the grand jury presentation and the trial presentation when that comes before a trial jury.
Counselor, I'm going to make a confession on behalf of the panel. I have not yet touched that report. I haven't done any reading, but there are other people doing the homework and starting to post articles. One of the headlines I see, apparently, Donald Trump was not the only Trump family member that was scrutinized in this January 6th report. In fact, first daughter Ivanka was accused of what, being less than candid with the committee. Are they accusing her of perjury, do you think, Jim? Are they dangling that out there like, hey, DOJ, you know, she's right. No snitch, let's just say.
Right. And we saw Ivanka a little bit today in the presentation, perhaps somewhat fleeting, but that kind of thing, not only is, again, for the public consumption, understanding the corruption, if you will, that pervades the Trump family, as we've seen in this instance, many other things pending in New York, as we know well. But also, you have to believe that Jack Smith, that the other folks that he is supervising right now, are looking at everyone. We do know that the transcripts, again, being sent, if they haven't already been sent to the Department of Justice, he will look at those and make a determination, not about whether there is a lack of candor, lack of forthcomingness, if you will, but whether there was perjury. Perjury is a tough thing to show. Where we've got these other instances of at least the Secret Service agent, for example, failing to remember things on January. Again, that's certainly a lack of candor, right? That's not being forthcoming. Whether that's perjury, that's tough to show. But it's, again, got to be the kind of thing that's on Jack Smith's list these days when he considers all these people who have been the focus of his investigation and now are a part of the recommendation from the committee itself.
Jim, in the last 45 seconds here, lots of folks pled the fifth, and perhaps the Secret Service guy was less than candid. What can Jack Smith do that the J6 couldn't?
Right. It could also call them before a grand jury as well. Presumably that has been done. They can once again invoke their Fifth Amendment rights in that setting. But that doesn't mean you can't be charged with something. So if others provide you with information that indeed you did know what you were failing to recall at that time, other things like that, just because you invoked the Fifth Amendment doesn't mean you can't be prosecuted. And Jack Smith would certainly look at that to address that kind of situation, too.
You know, the only unfortunate thing is we say goodbye, Jim. Christmas morning, no fresh cannolis. Have to do with rerun Santa. Thank you, Jim.
And we'll look forward to not just reruns, but to the end of the year as well. That last Saturday in the month, we're going to come back and talk about all these things. So we will see you again and hear you very soon.
Thanks.
The Shaw 101 FM.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio. It's a whole new game when the Badgers face Oklahoma State for the Guaranteed Rate Bowl in Phoenix on December 27th. Your business can be a part of the action right here on your local Civic Media radio station, locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Learn how you can share your Badgers pride during the game, airing locally and streaming everywhere. Call 715-424-1300. 715-424-1300.
Here at Home Furniture and Design, we are thankful for our wonderful customers. And at this most glorious time of the year, we are especially grateful. Thank you and season's greetings from your friends at Home Furniture and Design in Wisconsin Rapids and Plover.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Pride.
Left corner, three on the way. Got it.
Excellence.
Yes, it counts. And a foul.
Commitment.
Drops the hammer. Thank you and good night.
For Badgers, they're not just words. They're words to live by.
It's over. Let's have a party, Badger Nation.
This is your radio home for the Badgers.
Catch all the Badgers men's basketball action in the Big Ten this year right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Together, we can turn a stairwell into an ER at a moment's notice. Together, we can turn a rescue ship for refugees into a maternity ward. Together, we can vaccinate 710,000 people in just 11 days. Together, we can deliver medical care where the need is greatest. Together, we are Doctors Without Borders. Doctors Without Borders goes where others don't to provide life-saving medical care to people caught in crisis situations around the world. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The UW Richland Center campus is being forced to close at the end of the spring semester in 2023. The UW system cites low enrollment and financial pressures. Community members and others say this is misleading and that UW-Platteville mismanaged the campus. Former high school students say there was little to no recruitment and they were directed to apply at UW-Platteville, not the branch campuses. UW-Platteville repeatedly rejected the offer from UW-Richland's private foundation to pay for a dedicated campus recruiter. The UW system is now focusing on transitioning students, faculty, and staff to other campuses. UW-Platteville will absorb UW-Richland's budget. UW President Jay Rothman has asked the campus to transition to adult learning or online classes. This will put a huge financial burden on the county to maintain the buildings without much support from the UW system. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. A winter storm warning continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Chance for snow tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows level off around 10 below. Winds out of the northwest, 20 to 25 miles per hour. Snow likely tomorrow, high of 0, cloudy skies. 3 below tomorrow night, overcast. A dusting of snow tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Right now, 5 below.
9 to 11 on the Civic Media app or on your local station. You know, check your local listings. He plays out at the same time across the network. But Dom, I think you tweeted it for, you know, the show. You did tag it, Dom, but lock him up. Lock him up.
Lock him up. Say it with me now. Lock him up.
Isn't that what Michael Flynn used to say about Hillary Clinton? Lock her up.
He did. Lock her up.
They got a lot of mileage out of that on the campaign trail back in 16,
if I
right?
did a tenth of the things that Hillary did. Right? Yeah. I mean, these guys are just are they that clueless or that? I don't know how to explain it, man. How do you stand up there knowing you're doing what you're doing and then yell to the crowd, yeah, lock her up, lock her up? Well, what about what you're doing, dude?
An interesting, you know, contrast, let's just say. Lock her up. They're projecting. They've been projecting the whole time.
Yes. Yeah,
everything they say their opponents do, they only comprehend that because they've been doing it the whole time. And, of course, Michael Flynn, apparently you plead the fifth on a question of whether or not there can be peaceful transfer of the presidency? That's a yes or no. That's a binary question,
but you
sir.
Plead the fifth because you're probably on tape saying somewhere, we cannot have the peaceful transfer of power. You know what I mean? So if you say yes, now you're perjuring yourself. I want to throw this one out there, and you can join us on the phones. Want your reaction as well, 844-967-2789. Brad Reed reporting over at the Raw story. Although Trump has accused the House Select Committee of turning a blind eye to the purported mass fraud he believes cost him the 2020 presidential election, it turns out that the committee did ask his allies to back up their election fraud claims under oath. The executive summary of the committee's final report states that it asked multiple election conspiracists, including John Eastman, Michael Flynn, Jenna Ellis, and Phil Waldron, for evidence of election fraud and, quote, all invoked their Fifth Amendment privilege against self-incrimination in response. In addition to this, former Trump attorney Giuliani acknowledged to the committee that he did not buy claims that Dominion voting system machines had stolen the election from Trump, and his ally Bernard Carrick acknowledged that it was, quote, impossible to determine conclusively whether there was widespread fraud or whether that widespread fraud would have altered the outcome of the election. In sum, writes the committee in the executive summary, not a single witness, nor any combination of witnesses, provided the select committee with evidence demonstrating that fraud occurred on a scale even remotely close to changing the outcome of any state. So you have your chance. You know, who is this? Jenna Ellis, Michael Flynn, Phil Waldron, John Eastman. Go ahead. Lay it out for us, brother. Tell us what your fraud is.
I plead the fifth.
Because it was all bunk. They knew it was all bunk. It was all bunk. That's why they could not even pretend to come up with some sort of fraud, because they were under oath, and instead they plead the fifth. Hey, all you Republicans out there, it was stolen, huh? Where's your proof? I plead the fifth. What?
They had theories. They just lacked for evidence. What's that stuff? Evidence?
Sure.
Now, our buddy Rudy Giuliani of the Four Seasons, you know, that guy. The running hair dye guy, the I lack for a law license guy, that guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just remember Andrew Hitt, and it was brought up several times recently. I think I should do so as well. Andrew Hitt's from the WRCO listing area. Hope he's listening to the Packers on our fine broadcast later. But Andrew Hitt from Richland Center is the former head of the Republican Party. He's a false Trump elector. He gave testimony in this deal, right?
Yes.
But he's also an attorney by trade. And they're all saying, and I know Bob Spindell was out there, and it's so strange to me, a guy that perpetrated a fraud, but then says to the press, in the case of Bob Spindell, this former elections commissioner, well, but Trump's lawyers told us to. But then you take a good hard look. I mean, it's you're talking about Rudy. You're talking Rudy kind of came up with this drunken plan.
Well,
allegedly drunken.
Was the other one as well, as mentioned specifically
Eastman,
in Eastman.
Clark. Who was going to be his hatchet man over at DOJ. I mean, all these guys really should fear for a criminal prosecution. I'm sure they do at this late hour. And I would wonder, what about those that failed to effectively honor the subpoenas? Or, you know, look at the Mark Meadows, right? Mark Meadows was supposed to go give evidence. He did drop a hell of a lot of text messages before he clammed up. But why is he not in contempt of Congress? If Steve Bannon's already been to trial, convicted, and sentenced, and appealed.
And appealing, right, yeah.
Why isn't Mark Meadows Why is it
in the same boat?
In the same boat.
Great question. Well, because I don't know. And I mean, certainly at the time, Mark Meadows was part of the administration and Bannon was not.
How does that
I don't get it. I mean, there, if you're in contempt, you're in contempt. If it's good for one, it's good for all.
Well, I guess the only point is, it's not just Donald Trump. I know Donald Trump got his this former president in the public record, this bipartisan panel, criminally referred him. And the media's charge, as Jim Santel pointed out, probably the insurrection one, right? That's the one that kind of has the sexiness about it, at least relative to what's being alleged, because it's the grossest, most craven. I mean, oh my goodness, this guy was the president of the United States, and he tried to overturn the government. You know what I mean? It's like, this isn't some crazy mob guy
of the people. You know what I mean? The will of the people shall be done, man. It wasn't just, you know, boarding up the Congress and staying, you're going to have to drag me out. I mean, he was purposefully trying to throw out the will of the people, man. And that's the part. I mean, it's one thing to, if you had the proof, they'd have presented it. If they had the proof, they'd have won in court. They didn't. The whole thing was bunk to begin with. He was planting that seed corn back in February.
And as I heard on the Civic Media app, as I was listening to the testimony, and if you'd like to react, audience, you can be a part. 844-967-2789. I know people are making last-minute preparations for a Packer game and that kind of stuff, but come on, man. They're not even going to make the playoffs, probably. You can listen to us. You can be a part. You can join us on the airwaves. And, Dom, perhaps here's some good news for you and the audience. We don't have indictments. It's not Special Counselor Day. It's not Merrick Garland Day. But the Electoral Count Act, you know, this loophole, apparently, in the Electoral College that John Eastman and Trump thought they were going to jam through history and were going to allow the vice president to either select him, talking about Pence, or at minimum throw it back to corrupted state legislatures like the one that we have here in the state of Wisconsin would have gladly embraced that, oh, we get to pick, we pick Trump. You know, it would have been. It was only a 4-3 decision by the Wisconsin Supreme Court, literally earlier in the day before the false Trump electors had ever met, before they ever committed the crime, the conspiracy that the former president's being referred for criminal charges on today. But that means you, Bob Spindell. That means Andrew Hitt, Kelly Rowe, and others on that list of false Trump electors. I hope you got a good frickin' criminal defense attorney. But back to the Electoral College Act, and then I'll let you go, buddy. Amy Wang at the Post reporting a bipartisan bill, bipartisan, that would make changes to how members of Congress could object to electoral votes will be included in the omnibus spending bill. See that? They're jamming it through, Dom. Lawmakers need to approve in the coming days, Senator Susan Collins, Republican of Maine, said today. The Electoral Count Reform and Presidential Transition Improvement Act. Yeah, let's improve over that last one. Sponsored by Collins and Senator Joe Manchin. I hear he's a Democrat from West Virginia. Would amend the Electoral Count Act of 1887 and reaffirm that the vice president has only a minstrel role at the joint session of Congress. You know, he's just counting the votes while Electoral College votes are counted. The measure would also raise the threshold necessary for members of Congress to object to a state's electors. Looking at you, Ted Cruz. And dozens of others, dozens, not just the ones being referred to the Ethics Committee, but I mean, we got 30, 40 something Republicans that are willing to throw out democracy. How do I know? I've seen the text messages to Mark Meadows.
Yes. Call the Insurrection Act. This is the only way it's going to happen. And that's only what we've seen. What we don't know is what was on martial law. We don't know what was on the encrypted apps, which is what a lot of those folks did. If you remember reading the Mueller report, that's how they communicated. That's how they did their dirty deeds back then. You use encrypted apps. So why are you getting off your cell phone and jumping onto an encrypted app? Are you doing some nefarious things? I would suggest so. And again, it's still mind-blowing to me, that we had this attack going on in the Capitol for over 3 hours while Trump did nothing, and the where was the Pentagon? Right? Where was everybody? Right? Michael Flynn's brother, Charles Flynn, well, he was on the phone call at the with the Army at the Pentagon with some of these players. And when asked about it for at least one, maybe two times, the Army denied it. They denied Charles Flynn being on the phone call with some of these cats, some of these perpetrators, right? Mike Flynn's brother. And you're going to tell me that we have an attack on the Capitol going on for 3 hours and the frickin' cavalry didn't arrive? I mean, in what world, in what situation, what scenario does that ever happen?
Well, Lazarus denied Jesus three times before the rooster crowed.
What you mean by that, but you got to be freaking kidding me, man. I mean, in any other circumstance, anywhere else, of course, and we've talked about this memo that went out to how the police officers are supposed to deal with the Trump supporters. They couldn't have this. They couldn't have riot gear, all this other stuff that was all laid out. So this is above and beyond, you know, a couple of congressmen in, you know, communicating on their encrypted app, while I certainly think that there's problems there, and taking the fifth or not showing up to testify when they're going to get, you know, the ability to issue subpoenas. What value do they have, those subpoenas, coming from people like that? That's problematic, certainly. But what about the Pentagon, man? What about the Army, the National Guard? Where the hell was everybody?
Take the ballot boxes back. And
it was
give
a
it to
stand
Trump.
Down order from Trump. This is my belief. And Flynn was in on it. And I don't know about Chuck or Charles Flynn or the brother, all those things that were going on. But for the Army to lie that he was not involved, not on the phone call, and then to come out about it later and, you know, basically admit it and then not ever talk about it again, there are greater problems and greater issues, I think, that need to be investigated above and beyond those that were actually on the ground, the foot soldiers, and above and beyond Congress. There's other people that we still don't know what the hell happened. How do you look at the situation? How do you see this attack on the Capitol and not see 5,000 troops rolling in and stopping it? I mean, Donald Trump didn't do anything. The testimony, he didn't call DOJ. He didn't call Homeland Security. He didn't call Barney Fife. He didn't call anybody. He did zero for 3 hours while his people attacked.
Dominic, I have a reaction from the Senate Minority Leader, your buddy, the turtle guy, Mitch McConnell. Here is what he had to say today. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, according to The Hill, today issued a terse response to the House January 6th Select Committee's decision to refer criminal charges against former President Trump to the Justice Department. I think you know it if you've been listening. The entire nation knows who is responsible for that there. Beyond that, I don't have any immediate observations. At least he acknowledges, you know, it was Trump, right? It was Trump.
Yes. He said it once on the floor. He said it again today.
Do you see the GOP chairman, Brian Schimming, the new guy here in the great state of Wisconsin? Not the guy that was the fraudulent Trump elector, the new guy.
The new guy?
You know, talk radio host turned chairman. He said this weekend, you know, just don't say, I'm going to vote for this guy and never Trump, because Trump could be our nominee.
Oh,
come back, more devils.
Throughout 2022, UW Athletics and BMO is observing the 50th anniversary of Title IX and celebrating the landmark legislation's impact on women in collegiate sports. With events and moments planned throughout the calendar year, Wisconsin Athletics is finding unique ways to tell female stories, celebrate with the community and campus, and highlight past and present accomplishments of teams and individuals. Visit uwbadgers.com/Title IX for more information. Thanks to BMO for their support of the 50th anniversary of the Title IX celebration.
Quality Foods puts you first. No self-checkouts here. Get the groceries you want, bagged, and loaded in your car if you'd like. That's quality service from real people you can expect. Delivery and pickup are available at West Grand. Visit QualityFoodsWisRapids.com. Or if you can't order online, just call West Grand and they'll take it. Don't forget the deli for delicious meats, cheese, salads, and complete hot and cold meals. Quality Foods, West Grand and Baker Drive. Locally owned and putting you and the community first.
Remember when you could turn on the radio and hear a song you'd never heard before? A song that would make you tap your feet, snap your fingers, maybe get up and dance a little? A song that once you heard it made you say, that's a surefire hit. Those days are gone. Or are they? Tune in on Sunday nights from 6 to 8 p.m. and catch Seth Faces the Music on WFHR. The premise is simple. Every week I pick a theme and find songs that fit the theme. It's so simple yet so, so good. Join me, won't you, for Seth Faces the Music every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. on locally grown radio WFHR.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at easterseals.com.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
The Devil's Advocates, never personal, only politics.
Before you accuse me, take a look at yourself.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of the day. If you got something to say, you want to join us on the phones, do so right now at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, a little late breaking news. Supreme Court Justice, your buddy, John Roberts, the chief, he's the one that decided Obamacare was a tax or something, right? Anyways, coming back to the story of the moment today. Put a temporary hold on the termination of the controversial Trump-era immigration policy known as Title 42 that was set to end on December 21st, that's Wednesday, leaving it in place for now. But in a brief order, Roberts signaled that the court wants to act quickly and asked the Biden administration to respond by 5 p.m. Eastern time tomorrow in an emergency appeal filed by a group of Republican-led states. The brief orders from Roberts, means the policy that allows officials to swiftly expel migrants at the U.S. border will stay in effect, at least until the justices decide the emergency application. And then if they decide before Christmas, well, hell, Dom, what, you throw Jesus back in the barn.
Wow. Other breaking news as well. Crudy, Houston judge Christopher Lopez reportedly ended a stay preventing Sandy Hook families from collecting a $1.5 billion judgment against conspiracy theorist Alex Jones. In a ruling on Monday, Lopez granted an order to lift the stay that was automatically put in place when Jones filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protections. The judge set the order immediately to allow the Sandy Hook post-trial families' cases to continue to proceed to entry of final judgment, and once judgments are entered, to allow appeals, if any, to proceed, and the Sandy Hook post-trial families to pursue, respond to, and participate in any appeals without further order of the court. So Alex Jones hiding behind his bankruptcy filing, well, that has now been ended.
844-967-2789. Still time to participate on this big show before we, you know, throw it to football, Dom. And one last topic. According to Axios, little thing they did here, there are like four counties in the entire country that matter for the grand old party. And here is what Axios said. You gotta understand, there's going to be a local relevance. Just work with me. In the four battleground states likely to decide the outcome of the next presidential election, you know, Wisconsin's on that list, clawing back swing state voter support in the suburbs will be key to unlocking Republican revival. Why it matters, Republicans lost 6 of 8 Senate and gubernatorial races in Arizona, Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin in 2022. And then Rojo. But anyways, a suburban bellwether county in each of these states could make all the difference in the GOP in 2024. Well, they talk about Bucks County, Pennsylvania, and the performance of Fetterman, but I want to jump forward, Dom, to what will soon be our newest broadcast location, Brown County, Wisconsin.
Green Bay, baby.
Green Bay, baby. Around January 2nd, I think we're launching in Green Bay. Tell them we're coming for them. Brown County, centered in Green Bay, the fourth most populous county in Wisconsin, doesn't get as much attention as those including Milwaukee and Madison, but its competitive nature is pivotal to any GOP candidate's prospects. Both Senator Ron Johnson, losing GOP gubernatorial candidate Tim Michaels, carried Brown County, but Johnson's double-digit margin there made the difference in his close race. Michaels versus Governor Tony Evers, while only led by 5 points, and former gubernator Scotty Wanker carried Brown County by 17 points in the 2014 election and even won by 8 points in his unsuccessful 2018 campaign. Brown County, Green Bay, baby. Big game up there tonight. Goes,
if I'm reading this correctly, Crudy, kind of harkens back to the piece we talked about earlier from Greg Gilbert at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. All these suburban cities in you know Milwaukee area market here swinging from you know slightly Republican to slightly Democratic, in some cases 20 or 30 points the swing. But if if Governor Walker led that by 17 and 14, won by 8 and 18, and Michaels led Evers only by 5. I mean, that trend line is not going in the proper direction if you're the GOP.
Well, it's not. But I would point out, Tim Michaels was a particularly distasteful candidate. Ron Johnson did better up there. Know what I mean? If you look at Ron as the litmus test, he did significantly better than Michaels did. Johnson had a double-digit margin in Brown County.
Yeah.
I mean, if Republicans continue to grow on double-digit leads in Brown County, it doesn't make any sense to me, Dom. Here's why. A, it's a metro. B, it's a college town. You know what I mean? It's not a big city, but it's a college town. Now, Brown County, approximately 300,000 people in Brown County. So it's a pretty good chunk. Dane County, a little bigger, but the city of Madison's only a couple hundred thousand. Green Bay, if you've ever been there for a Packer game or checked it out, it's a small city. You know what I mean? It feels like a small town. There are no skyscrapers in Green Bay. There's right. Lambeau Field and everything around Lambeau Field. And I guess the Fox River, and we will be located right on the Ray Nitschke Bridge backing up to the Fox River on the corner. Right there on Washington Street in downtown Green Bay. That will be the broadcast home of WGBW. It's got Green Bay right in the name. I love that about it. 97.9 FM, that hasn't happened yet. And I'd like to thank my partner, Civic Media. Perhaps you'll join us in the new year as there are some new stations launching. And as there are lots and lots of things going on behind the scenes. But I'd really like to see 2023 be the best year ever, Dom. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, we don't have a lot of time to sit on our laurels. There is the Supreme Court primary on February 21st, and then the Supreme Court general election for the soul of the state of Wisconsin, for the future of Wisconsin's gerrymandered legislature. It's all on the ballot next April. You know, so we got a business quarter. After Christmas, we got a business quarter to turn on this Death Star and make it work. So, appreciate it, partner. Sage Weil. You know, it's really to his credit that these things are happening. He is putting the resources behind him. Thank you to James Santel. He's one of the fine hosts on the Civic Media Network. If you haven't been listening, tune him in Saturday mornings, 9 to 11. And oh yeah, we got fine features like football, Packers football, on stations like WRCO. Now, Dom, it's not Merrick Garland Day. It's not Special Counsel Day, but it was still a merry Monday. I hope you had a good time.
I had a great Monday. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Evan. Thank you to our fair audience and Jim Santel.
Yeah, don't forget, Native Roots Radio is next. And then the Paul Revere Show with Wisconsin Elections Commissioner Mark Thompson. And unlike Bob Spindell, he has not been credibly alleged to have committed insurrectionist conspiracy with the former president, you know, the guy that was criminally referred today. Have a great night.
I'm Nyheim Hines, running back for the Indianapolis Colts and proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom was diagnosed with muscular dystrophy when I was 14, and I watched her struggle. But MDA helped her get the best treatments and care. And they also help kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. From day one, they've treated me like family at my local care center. MDA is the only one that funds over 150 care centers across the U.S. to help provide state-of-the-art care for adults and kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and other related neuromuscular diseases. They fund the research for breakthrough treatments, care, and cures. And MDA provides support to thousands of families like mine and Ethan's in communities like yours. Thanks to MDA, kids and adults can live life to its fullest. Join us and learn more at MDA.org today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting.